If you're just switching on the radio, you're very welcome. It's the Frank Mitchell phone-in through until 12 noon. Now, tomorrow marks the 40th anniversary of one of the greatest atrocities of the Troubles here in Northern Ireland. And if you were in any way affected by the Le Mans House tragedy, you may not wish to hear the next piece of audio that I'm about to broadcast. So if you feel that it would be too difficult to listen to, I'm giving you a little time now to readjust your radio. But this takes us back to a radio report 40 years ago.
Reports are coming in of a bomb explosion at a hotel on the outskirts of Belfast. The bomb exploded at the Le Mans House Hotel near Cumber a short time ago, and first reports say there may be a number of casualties. Eyewitnesses say the explosion started a fierce fire, which spread quickly through the building, which was packed with hundreds of people attending dinner dances. It's understood a fleet of ambulances is on its way to the scene.
That report, that breaking news, was brought to you while you were listening to the radio by Ivan Little, who later went on to work with us, of course, here at UTV, and he's on the line. Ivan, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
It's hard to believe it is 40 years, Ivan. Harrowing, the memory of what happened at Le Mans House.
Yeah, it is hard to believe that it's 40 years, Frank, but it's a night I will never forget for many, many different reasons. It was actually my first night as a duty news editor in downtown. I'd been shadowing people in the newsroom for a few weeks, but that was my first night in charge of the newsroom. And it had been a busy night already because there was an army helicopter crash in South Armagh, and a senior officer was killed. Now that took a lot of, and then there were claims that it had been shot down, which were denied by the army, and subsequently confirmed that it had been shot down. So that was taking all our attention, and then I got a phone call from a contact who regularly rang downtown, Bill Hamilton, who was a part-time photographer and an ambulance man. And he said there'd been a bomb in Le Mans and there were casualties. There would be a lot of casualties. Obviously, he was at the scene, so there was no doubting that what he was saying was true. I rang a few police contacts and got it confirmed that there were casualties. So I went on and broadcast that news flash. And then basically it was a case that night there was a party, a downtown party of all things in Bangor. Harry Castles was having a party and I couldn't raise any reporters with no mobile phones in those days, and they were all on their way to the party. But eventually I got Eamon Malley, and Eamon was still at home and he agreed to go. And the reports he filed were superb. I mean, he captured the horror of the moment, of the night, and he talked about seeing what looked like, this is distressing, and I apologise for that, but it's only, he said they looked like charred logs, which were actually bodies. And we kept broadcasting, and it just got worse and worse. I think at midnight I read a headline that 10 people had been killed. It subsequently transpired that there were 12 fatalities. And I think from memory there may have been 23 people injured. And it was just awful. And as the information started to become confirmed, it was discovered that a bomb had been left, I think, hung on the window grill of the Peacock Room, where members of the Irish Collie Club, harmless souls, one and all, were attending a dinner dance, an awards dinner, pardon me, and the bomb went off. The IRA gave a 9-minute warning, which even they conceded the next day had been totally inadequate. There were claims that they tried to phone from a phone box, which was out of order. But people I talked to said that they didn't even really hear an explosion. They were just aware of a flash. And the bomb contained four times more petrol than was usual in a bomb. Sent a fireball sweeping through the room. Scientists later said that it it was almost like a napalm bomb. So you can imagine what it was like inside that room. The lights went out. The flames were everywhere. People were on fire. People were trying to roll their loved ones on the ground to try to put the flames out. People were putting coats over the heads of people whose hair was on fire. And it was like hell on earth for those people. And about 10 years later, it was the 10th anniversary, I made a documentary for UTV on the awful night. It transpired, I didn't know at the time, but the following day I discovered that people who were killed were friends of my brother from Belmont Presbyterian Church in East Belfast. And then I found out that a girl who lived across the road from me at Stormont, where we lived, was one of the most seriously injured casualties. And in the documentary, I interviewed quite a few of the people who survived, and one woman in particular whom I will never, ever forget was called Lily McDowell, who was one of the two most seriously burnt casualties. And that woman, I don't think I've cried too many times doing interviews during covering 30 years of the trouble, but as I talked to her, her memories, I know that I was shedding tears, and I know that hard-bitten cameramen and sound men were also moved to tears by what she said. And if I could just, the words are here in front of me, if you don't mind, Frank, I'll read them out. But Lily said that after the bomb went off, she said, "I crept away from the tables. I just didn't know where to go. I knew I was going to die. I suddenly knew I had only seconds. I sat up on my knees and tried to quickly as I could, say my prayers. And as I did so, I now know that I felt the presence of the Lord speaking to me. I was just so still. I was able to sit up and put my hands together, and I was able to say the Lord's Prayer from beginning to end without faltering at all. And after that, I just fell forward on my face, and I asked the Lord that if it was in his will that he would take me home because I was suffering so much. I asked him to get Billy, who was her husband, out to look after my boys, my two boys. But miraculously, help was at hand for Lily, and a man called Joe Paxton dragged her to safety. She had 50% third-degree burns to her body, particularly from the neck down. But that woman was an inspiration, and I would have met Lily from time to time. In the town, wherever, and she always gave me a hug, and she called me her bear because she was about 5'2" and I was 6'4". So it was a night to remember but to forget.
Must be heartbreaking for people looking back 40 years on, and it'll be marked tomorrow, Ivan. And there are still questions to be asked. You write about it today in the Belfast Telegraph, and people do believe that there were cover-ups in relation to who might have been involved.
Well, there were all sorts of theories. I mean, the police arrested about 25 people in the days after Le Mans. There were senior Republicans among them. Gerry Adams was one of them. Gerry Adams was never, of course, charged in relation to the bombing, but he was charged with IRA membership, though the following September the charge was dropped. Gerry Adams was named. Iris Robinson used parliamentary privilege to claim that Gerry Adams was in charge of the IRA at the time, of course. Those claims were always denied, and he has always denied having anything to do with Le Mans. But there were claims that senior Republicans were involved, and double agents were involved, and that there were things that were done to try to protect the identity of those people. Dennis Donaldson, who was subsequently murdered by dissidents, we believe, in Donegal, after he came out and admitted that he'd been working as a double agent, he was named in some reports as having been involved in the bomb team. the HET, Historical Inquiries team, investigated. The families were not happy with the outcome, but they discovered that papers relating to the bombing, interviews with suspects, had all vanished. And the families, Lily McDowell died just 2 weeks after meeting Theresa Villiers, the then Secretary of State, and she asked for a review of the HET investigation, which they hoped would lead to a public inquiry, but that never happened. And at the moment, the families are waiting for the police ombudsman to investigate. So there's a lot of unanswered questions. And I talked to Lily's husband, Billy, last week, and he said that he feared he would be going to his grave without finding out anything more, that he would be denied justice right to the end.
Ivan, I really appreciate you talking to me this morning, and with the anniversary, the 40th anniversary tomorrow, our thoughts are with all those families. Thanks for your time, Ivan. Thank you.
Thanks, Frank. Cheers.
That's Ivan Little reporting, recalling the night that he broke that news, reporting on the Le Mans tragedy, the Le Mans massacre, really, of 40 years ago tomorrow. You won all five.